Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
How many of y'all believe the Bible? Okay, we ain't got no problem now. That makes sense? So we often look over portions or see things and don't get a complete understanding. And I like to read a lot of documentaries and expositories on the Word so that, you know, I can get other views, but that's not the Word. The Word is the Word, you know. And so we have to be mindful on what we put in our spirits, because the world is putting in their spirits a lie that we know is a lie, but because of the pressures of the world, we're forced to operate as if it's the truth. We may not believe it's the truth, but the law requires us to operate as if it is the truth. Now, what am I talking about? Well, you know, I just have a problem with women and women marrying women and men marrying men. Because my Bible tells me something different. But they're changing the Word as if it is the truth. Does that make sense? That is a political activity. If you've noticed that the movement has complete control of the laws in America now. It's amazing to me, because, you know, I'm old enough to have seen this stuff change. I'm not saying that we should be hating people and this type of stuff. Everybody's a human being, and everybody deserves human rights. Everybody deserves to be treated right. But I do not agree with beating children. So I just don't agree with a lot of things. Is that all right? So as we look at this concept of Hitler did something very, very interesting. He says, if you tell a lie over and over, it will become the truth. And this is what's happening to us today. They're telling us a lie. And to a point is in our schools. They're telling our children lies. They're telling us in every sector where we go, lies as if it is the truth. But the Word of God is the only absolute truth. How many believe that? So when we look at this, people say, or theologians, some folks say, certain things didn't happen. You know, like Pastor told me, it was very interesting. It was Sylvia's old pastor. He told me, I don't want you preaching about the Holy Ghost in my church, because it don't happen no more. And I said, well, tell me more, old man. I mean, because, you know, like, he'd draw the gauntlet to me. I mean, well, what are you telling me? He said, can't show me nowhere. I showed him. He said, no, that wasn't the Holy Ghost. That was the Spirit of God. Okay. We got people that strung out on old isms. And so when I said, you know, I didn't want to talk about this, but you got to step up sometime. Pastor and I have been through a difficult situation, an unbelievable situation. And the outcome was unbelievable. You know, I mean, it's because of the lie. But I know that God is still on the throne. So I want to talk today about something that I entitled this, is called the upper room experience. And first, we got to go get the background, and that's found in Acts let's say, 1 and 4. I'm going to read it to you right quick. And then the preached message is coming out of chapter 2, Acts chapter 2. So 1 and 4 says, being assembled together with them, talking about Jesus after his death, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put on his own power, but ye shall receive power after that he, the Holy Ghost, is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto them both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the whole world. And when he had spoken these things, while beheld, he was taken up. Amen? Amen. In a cloud. This is Jesus talking to the disciple, talking about the promise. The interesting thing about a promise and a gift. Promise from God is sure going to happen. This gift cannot be purchased. A lot of people think if they got money, they can make it. But most people that go off on the deep ends and work their whole lives to get some money. So we see that here Jesus was part of his 40 different visits, because he was 40 here, 40 days accounted, was talking, giving the last instructions to his disciples. And at this time, these instructions had them break tradition, because they had to go to the upper room and they were going to commune with men and women. And that was a traditional break. And so Acts 2 and 4 goes in to say that, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of the rushing mighty wind, and it filled all that home where they were all sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues of, and it sat upon each of them. And this cloven tongue was a, like a flame that sat right up here over their heads. And this is where the baptized with the Holy Ghost with fire. That's where that concept came from. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, does this mean that the Holy Ghost just showed up? No, Holy Ghost fell on Samson. On him. And as soon as he threw using him, he left him. That makes sense? This was the changing of the guard. You now have the possibility of the Holy Ghost indwelling inside of you, keeping you, teaching you. This was when things changed and we didn't have to kill no more sheep. All we had to remember is who was in us. And see, this was the manifestation of the triune spirit, the Trinity. The Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the Son says, I have the same power of the Father, but I submit to him. The Holy Ghost says, I have the same power of the Father, but I operate for him. The Son came to operate. The Holy Ghost came to operate. What was the Holy Ghost done? The Holy Ghost speaks to us now. Don't do that. I'd be trying to listen to the Holy Ghost. You know, so let me do a sidebar. I'd be driving Sister Precious, this big old 60-foot bus with a busload of folks on it. And then, you know, my mind goes blank. And I'm sitting at the stoplight saying, do I go right? Or do I go left? And knowing it could be a dead end. And you ever back a 60-foot bus up by going down the dead end? You got to constantly be, and I'm using that as an example, but it's a real deal. You got to be consciously in tune with the Spirit. So that you can hear him and you can operate. Sometimes you got to stop and say, what is it you want me to do, Lord? Instead of running into a situation that is like a bull in a china cabinet. You're out of place. You're ill-prepared. You don't have enough information on what to do and how to do. And so when the Holy Ghost was put into the position to come and stay inside of you, listen to this. Jesus had to go. Wasn't enough room for him. He had done what he came to do. Jesus came to die. Simple as that. His purpose was to come to die, and the Holy Ghost was come to assist us in living. Does this make sense? Now raise your hand if I ain't hitting nothing that makes sense. It's important that once you accept Christ, you're in tune with the Spirit. Because you cannot hear God with a spiritless existence. You got to believe. You got to believe. And so we look at that they were all filled and began to speak with other tongues. Let me say this, that the Holy Ghost said we were filled. Now, what does this mean? Once you accepted Christ, you're already in it. You're already there to be used by the Holy Ghost. But at this time, he's saying that he's going to be in you also. So how does this work? It's just like going into a pool of oil. You go in the pool and you submit yourself to the flow of the oil. Some people ain't gonna understand why you letting yourself just flow and why you got so much peace. My Bible tells me that all things work for those that love the Lord. So when you love the Lord, you trust him. And you allow his Spirit to use you. He will guard your tongue. Some folks can't help cussing. Yes, you can. Come on now. Some folks can't help losing their temper. Yes, you can. Listen to the Spirit. He said, I'll fight your battles. Listen to the Spirit. Give me your cares. Cast them on me. Listen to you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Never seen the begging for bread. This is the Spirit talking to you. Quit worrying about it. We made a life change about a year ago. And Pastor said, what you gonna do? I said, I'm gonna do whatever God, I ain't gonna do this no more. I'm gonna do whatever God has me to do. And so once we start submitting to the Spirit of God, it gets easier. Because the assurance of him being there for you becomes a reality because he does it so much, so regular. You know, just a question, just to poll you. How many been in some impossible situations in the last year that you didn't have an answer? You know, you didn't have the money. You didn't have the access. You didn't know how, us gonna get out of this. Been there, did that, got a t-shirt. But when I calm down and look at what God has done, when I remove the spiritual amnesia that the devil liked to put on us, that's when I begin to understand that God had a plan. Come on and tell God thank you this morning. He said that they spoke in tongues. I've been to churches that they take them in the back room and teach them how to speak in tongues. And where floats your boat? But the Bible says they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you know what was interesting about that tongue speaking? Everybody around it, they spoke those different tongues. They spoke various different tongues. They heard the message. And they knew. And they said, I thought this was a Samaritan. I thought this was a Greek. How can he talk to us like this? They must be drunk. You know? And so, this is God doing his thing. Because nobody, no crowd, no rave ever gave everybody a language that everybody could understand. And they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterings, and they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Every representative of humanity was at this place. Isn't that something? And I have to wonder, why was everybody there wasn't a Jew? But it was a Jewish holiday, Jewish celebration, Pentecost. So everybody was there. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own tongues. Now, I don't know if this ever happened again. I don't know this. But that's pretty amazing to me. You know, they're technology savvy as we are, they haven't yet figured out a way. I think TBN is doing pretty good. But as much money as Trump has spent and Clinton has spent, there's a lot of folks don't understand nothing they're saying. So we look at this. They said, aren't these the people from Galilee? Something about salvation, everybody know about you. When I first accepted Christ and I started pastoring, all my street thugs used to come up to my church just to see. Is it true? And they said, some of them walked away and said, we got a chance. If they can do this to Woodley, we in pretty good shape. And that's the way it goes. Folks heard about your salvation. That makes sense? Folks heard about your salvation. Folks heard about you. And they waiting for you to mess up so they can say, I told you so. I preached it in front of all my kin, and they were amazed. Because they hadn't seen me in 30 years. I'd have been amazed, too, if I had seen me 30 years ago and just showed up like this. And when how here we ever man in their own tongue wherein we were born. This is the beginning of the church. The church was not built or began in a storefront. The church was not purchased. And then Peter went on and preached a message that 5,000 received. And so the church was going on. But that wasn't the completeness of it. When God developed the church, He wanted to get the word out. Now, how many of y'all have done like Pastor Marquise and went and told somebody about Jesus since you've been saved? I mean, seriously, just told, not about your church, just about Jesus. You know, it's going to, you don't want God to do what he did to them. He put the Romans on them. They put devastation and they were fleeing Jerusalem, but they got comfortable. They thought that heaven was here. But we got to ask ourselves, are we living up to what the Bible says we are to do? Are we witnessing? Why aren't we witnessing? Do you have the Holy Ghost to where you have the power to witness? Even Apollos, who had never heard of the Holy Ghost, was witnessing, but he wasn't witnessing about Christ. How can you witness about what you don't know? That makes sense? Church, this day is time for us to quit having church and start having relationship with Jesus Christ. If you do that, your witnessing power will become what it needs to be. Some people look at how can Marquise get out there and have this much power to do this. This is the Holy Ghost, it ain't him. How can we be what we need to be? You know, I was looking at myself. I've been witnessing. I have a different type of witness. You know, we was the woman driving a bus is tiring and frustrating. And you, once you do 5 hours, 6 hours of just straight driving in this traffic, you're tired. Folks that's riding the bus go to sleep. Young lady said, Forrest, I could barely keep my eyes open. I said, you know, I'm the same way. I'd be going to sleep. Y'all run out there and get on a bus, huh? It's good advertisement. But I've learned to ask God to help me. I said, have you tried praying? And she stopped. And she looked. I said, I started praying and God wakes me right up. I don't be praying for nobody but me to get through this shift. You know, I'm a prayer, specific prayer. I said, if you ask God to help you, God, do you know about prayer? She said, I used to pray all the time. So you need to get back at it because you will go to sleep. You know? And she said, well, that's right. If we take a chance, because, you know, I can get fired for promoting Christ on the job. But if we go ahead and take the chance and witness the folks, you'd see something happen. If you share your testimony, I'm going to tell you the truth. I've been doing it all day. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Had to think about that. If you share your testimony that God saved you from something, you know, I would tease my wife. I just had one drink in my whole life. I just did one thing in my whole life. I said, wow, what were you saved from? That's a big conversation there. But if you would tell somebody what God has saved you from, I got a great testimony. Even past getting saved, my testimony is how he spared my life. How he took me from a no hope situation and said, not yet. We need to be telling the world what God has done for our families. And we need to tell our families the truth about this world that is built on lies. Got to do that. You got to ask God to let the Spirit of God dwell in you and empower you to do these things. because you can't do it on your own. You're a big old coward. You know, we are. What are they going to say about me? You know, I'm going to lose friends. Every friend I've lost wasn't much of a friend anyway. You know? No, I'm not invited to a whole lot of barbecues tomorrow. Hint, hint. But I'm telling you this, the friend I found in Jesus has made up the loss. The way he's taken me and kept me in his arms. The peace that he's given me. I've sat in this church with the world coming to the end, seemed like. But I've watched God do a miracle right there. Right there with me in the church while the rest of the world was going on. Come on and tell God thank you. He's done miracles in you. Some, those people downtown consistently stare. And Lord revealed to me, I said, what are they staring for? He said, they're staring because they have no hope. They're staring because they're looking for hope. And he said, we need to be telling them about Jesus Christ, which is the hope of the world. We got thousands, we could fill this church up if we practice what we profess. You know, I'm closing. I really am. But until you start operating in what God has called you to do, you're going to be continuously looking and staring and wondering. Most young preachers in my days wanted to have the church like T.D. Jakes or Bishop Blake or G.E. Patterson or some of those, Carlton Pearson, wanted to have the big church, the big ministries and those type of things. They were staring, but they wasn't staring at what it cost. They wasn't staring at what you got to go through. Amen? Yeah. For you to be here today, nobody knows what it was like in law school but you, for you. Nobody knows how many loans you're trying to pay back, but they want to be lawyers. You know, this day, I hope I've said something to encourage you and not to be a stumbling block. Use the power that's in you. You got power. You got power. You got the power to change things. Because you're going to do greater works. That's the reason you're here right now. You believe, according to what you confess, the Bible. And the Bible says you're going to do greater works. And the Bible says the power that's in you. Huh? That worketh in you. Now, one thing I know about work, you got to go. You got to get up. And you got to put it into action. In my closing, I'm asking you to consider what you're trying to do. Salvation isn't just yours. It's yours to share. It's yours to give out and teach, and yours to expound upon. Preaching ain't nothing but reaching folks. The pastor said you better learn how to pray. Y'all better learn how to praise in this church. Let me tell you why. You need to open your mouths up and praise. Because this is nothing but the training ground for heaven. Ain't going to be no more preaching. Ain't going to have no need for preaching. Because it's going to be done. But I've been trying to sing more at home. I ain't going to bother y'all with this. I want to be a praiser. Because when we get to heaven, we got to sing. We're going to be walking around praising God all day and all night. There's always howdy and never goodbye. Come on, let's get the church right. If you want people to join this church, be excited about this church. Does that make sense? You want somebody to enjoy your birthday party? Act like you're happy. You know? Be excited about coming in here. My grandchildren says, is there more people here Naomi said that. Is there more? I know she wouldn't talk about, but kids, you know, she has no care for adults. I noticed that about kids. She says, is there more people there? I said, Sylvia said, it's a surprise every Sunday. That's Sylvia's answer. I said, yeah, it's a bunch of little kids downstairs that you're going to go play with. Great, Papa, I'm glad you said that. We need to be excited like a child. Because you know what? It ain't no place safer than this place. It is no, I mean, this is a safe place. And we need to have people coming in here that the song says, I wish somebody here would catch on fire. We got to be on fire for somebody to catch on fire. Does that make sense? Come on and take your guards off. Quit looking around and say, don't nobody care about you getting happy. You doing that for yourself. Enjoy yourself in this place. Hallelujah. We thank God today. Father, I thank you for this day. I would say something to help someone. I don't mean to hinder anybody's growth. But I want to see this church and these people grow. I want your spirit to manifest itself to where the Shekinah glory enters this place every time we come in the door. Any drunk, any crack addict, any dope fiend will know there's a difference when they walk in here. And we bind the spirit of the enemy in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen.
We appreciate you listening to today's message. If you would like to hear this message and others in its entirety, visit our website, newcreationwa.org. We have services on Saturday nights, and we would love for you to come out and join us at the Emerald City Bible Fellowship Building located at 7728 Rainer Avenue South, Seattle, Washington, 98118. For questions or comments, call us at 425-686-8197. You can be made new in Christ. God bless.